Well, we're at the middle of the week again on the Bun Sports Show. Robert McElroy is with us, as he always is on Wednesday. Welcome back into the show. My name is Jacob Bun. Robert is joining me from his abode, and we saw some great games last week. Looking forward to this coming Saturday, too, with a lot more matchups in the SEC and elsewhere. But before we get to football, Robert, it was announced Sunday afternoon, officially, when we've been hearing rumors now for weeks and weeks, but it was officially announced that Missouri is going to be part of the SEC, and they're going to be in the SEC East. Just your reaction and your thoughts to the addition of the Tigers.
Well, I think that it's a product of what's going on all over the country. We talked a lot, I guess, before the season started about expansion and that kind of thing, and how it seems inevitable for once every several years for something like this to take place. While I'm not an authority on the subject, my opinion on it is that, it's not the worst thing that ever happened in the SEC. It's a byproduct of the current times in that more and more teams that don't necessarily fit the geographical footprint of a given conference are joining various conferences. And they're not even really taking the geographical footprint into account here. And this is a byproduct of that, I think. Missouri, not a bad program. I don't know how much of a fit they are in the SEC. But it'll work because, everybody else is kind of stepping out there and taking various programs of note. But I thought Texas A&M culturally and that kind of thing was probably a better fit.
Yeah. I agree with you.
When you look at Missouri, they border Kentucky there. They touch Tennessee slightly. They're right there next to Arkansas. It's not as dramatic as like BYU considering going to the Big East or something crazy like that, I suppose.
Well, and you're right, and BYU is considering going to the Big East, so what you're saying is not exactly far-fetched. But it is interesting, and Missouri does border Arkansas, it does border Tennessee, so there would be some games there. And going to the East, it will be interesting because, of course, you have Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Tennessee that you're tangent to. And from what I've heard, they'll be playing Arkansas every year as their constant opponent from the West, not Texas A&M. And then you'll have to go to Columbia, South Carolina, Athens, Georgia, and Gainesville, Florida, which will be interesting trips, too, every year or every other year. And then, of course, playing the teams from the West. But, yeah, it should be interesting, and I think the SEC was right to expand because of the way things are going. You want to be ahead of the curve. Like you, I believe Texas A&M was a really good fit for the conference. Not sold on Missouri, but I think over time it can become an SEC-like program.
It can. I thought it was interesting and really a wise decision to put them in the East also.
Yeah, I did too.
Because then you have some natural rivalry there with them bordering Kentucky and Tennessee and that. It kind of made sense, and you didn't have to shuffle around a bunch of teams that were currently settled in the West. Auburn didn't have to move to the East or anything like that. Right. Neither did Alabama. And I'm glad the SEC took into consideration what the average fan wants. The average fan, regardless if you're a Bama or a Tennessee fan, they want to see those two teams play on the third Saturday in October. And that's an SEC tradition that did not need to be messed with. Auburn and Georgia, that was an SEC rivalry that didn't need to get messed with. And just I could go on and on about the solidified rivalries in the SEC that needed to stay intact.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was a good decision. And from what I'm hearing, now this is not official, this is just something I've heard, that they're going to be playing Arkansas every year, Missouri as their rival from the West, and then LSU will be playing South Carolina, not Florida. Florida will now be playing Texas A&M, and everybody else will remain the same. But that could be interesting if that's the case.
Those all sound like decent football games, I suppose.
Yeah, they do. Well, Robert, let's start turning our attention to next week, and we have a lot of interesting games, and one that is going to be interesting that we're not going to pick this, but just some thoughts on this game. It's coming up tomorrow night on Thursday, number 10 Virginia Tech at number 21 Georgia Tech. I totally just glossed over this one when preparing for the show, but this could have a lot to do with the outcome of the Atlantic Coastal Division.
It could. It really could. And Georgia Tech had a big win over Clemson there a couple weeks ago. I really like what they do offensively. I think it's tough to prepare for from a defensive standpoint, but this is not Frank Beamer's first barbecue. I mean, he can get it done. He's been there, done that.
That's right. And Georgia Tech's offense, as we saw against Clemson a couple of weeks ago, can put up some points. So that'll be interesting to watch. That's tomorrow night. For those of you wanting some Thursday night action, it's tomorrow night on ESPN primetime. It's about the first game since LSU and Mississippi State that's been worth watching on that Thursday night special. Some of them have just been absolute bores of games.
Oh, so many have just not been worth tuning into, and I work nights anyway, and I don't lose any sleep from missing those games.
I hear you. Well, let's start off Saturday. It's going to be 11 o'clock. We're getting started with a bang as number two, Oklahoma State, taking Alabama's spot as the second-ranked team in the nation, undefeated. They travel to Lubbock to play Tommy Tuberville's Texas Tech squad. Texas Tech has already knocked off Oklahoma on the road, but it's also been beaten by Iowa State and Texas very, very soundly. So very hard team to figure out. But what do you make out of the Pokes going to play the Red Raiders?
I agree that it's a hard team to figure out. Tommy Tuberville has made such a reputation for himself for being a big-game coach, and he's good for an upset or two a year. I don't think he gets this one here, though. Oklahoma State is such a great football team, and I think the entire country has taken notice. It's their highest ranking in program history, so they should be coming into this game with a lot of confidence. I really like Mike Gundy and the way he goes about this program. I think he's a unique guy and has turned out to just be a fine coach. Should probably be talked about as one of the nation's elite, or at least as one of the nation's underrated coaches. I like Oklahoma State in this one, regardless of the fact that it's in Lubbock. I think Oklahoma State's too much for Tech.
Well, you know, and it's interesting about Gundy. If I'm not mistaken, he worked under Les Miles to begin with as his offensive coordinator when Les Miles was at Oklahoma State. So definitely has some good training there. I'm going to agree with you that Oklahoma State wins the game. I do think it'll be tough on the road. ABC, 11 o'clock Central Time, Saturday morning. But, Brandon Whedon, Justin Blackman are just going to be too much, I think, for Texas Tech's defense. And in a shootout, I'm going to have to take Oklahoma State. But would not surprise me to see this one close or perhaps even the upset. Also, 11 o'clock on ESPN, Nebraska, number 12, after getting beaten by Northwestern, explain that to me, is going to play Penn State in Happy Valley, and Penn State with all of the off-the-field tragic news this week, and we won't go into it, but just a very revolting and sad situation there at Penn State, and Nebraska travels to Happy Valley. I think Nebraska will win this game. I think they'll bounce back from that loss at Northwestern. That's the way it happens in the Big Ten. I think it's welcome to big boy football for Nebraska. You've been playing Iowa State all these years, and in the Big Ten, you can actually get upset by some teams. So I'm going to take Nebraska, though, on the bounce back.
Yeah, it's going to depend on which team is in better psychological shape. And it also depends on which Nebraska team shows up, the one that beat Michigan State by 3 touchdowns a couple weeks ago, or the one that blew it to Northwestern this past weekend. I'm going to say that I'm going to go with Penn State on this one. I'm going to say that, I mean, Penn State's going through a lot right now. But I'm going to say that it doesn't change the product you see on the field. Penn State, with their only loss this year, coming to a powerhouse in Alabama. Happy Valley is a tough place to win and win football games. And I say that the home crowd there rallies around this Penn State team. It's a tough place to win there in Happy Valley. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, it is, and it's colder this time of year, too. And that picture of the stadium covered in snow a couple of weeks ago when they played Illinois, that really brings it home of how it can be difficult in the winter months. How about, let's travel
that, down. That's a legitimate home field advantage.
Yeah, it is.
Too.
No question about it. CBS has a doubleheader Saturday, as they will have two SEC games, but this doubleheader is in the morning and in the afternoon rather than at night. The morning game is going to be an interesting matchup that a lot of times has direct effect on the outcome of the SEC East. This year, I don't think it's going to quite have as much, and that's Florida at number 13, South Carolina. The Gators are completely out of it for the East, and the Gamecocks, well, they're in it if Georgia can stumble against Auburn this weekend, so they still have a shot. But they have to beat Florida, and it's at home in Columbia. Does Steve Spurrier's team get it done, or does Will Muschamp pull the upset?
Well, I'm going to take South Carolina in this one. Florida struggled primarily in the first half of the Vanderbilt game this past Saturday. I was able to watch much of that. And they're able to get it together and muster up some offense there in the third quarter. And Florida is just not the same team defensively we saw earlier in the year. But I think that's in part because the competition got a little tougher. And Vanderbilt's not the same Vanderbilt that we remember. It ended up being enough to get it done against Vandy. But I think regardless of Marcus Lattimore's absence, South Carolina finds a way to get it done. It's in Columbia, another tough place to go in and win a game. And Florida just looked abysmal against Vanderbilt. Really, they got outplayed against Vanderbilt, except Florida in the third quarter there was – they were able to get it together. And if it weren't for a strong third quarter performance, Florida would have lost it.
Well, and I – you know, game was – Florida's way for a while, and then as you said, in the late part of the game, Vanderbilt just almost came back and won that thing, and that's why I just can't go with Florida. I'm going to have to go with South Carolina at home here, but I really want to pick Will Muschamp's team, but every time they seem to have a spark, it seems to be snuffed out really quickly, so I'm going to take South Carolina here just simply by default. I will say it's interesting because this game's at 11 o'clock, and Auburn and Georgia play at 2:30 on CBS. If Georgia, I'm sure Mark Richt will keep his team from knowing the score of this game, but if South Carolina wins the game, then it does put an added element of pressure on Georgia because Georgia has to win, because if they lose to Auburn, then South Carolina goes to Atlanta. So I believe it'll put a lot of pressure on the Georgia Bulldogs here knowing if South Carolina won or lost this game, especially if they win.
Oh, yeah, that's all very true. We got some big-time SEC East implications on the line. There's no doubt about that.
Well, let's move to that second game, and it's 2:30 on CBS, and that, of course, is Auburn traveling to Georgia. Last year, Georgia gave Auburn a run for the first half or so, and then Cam Newton was just too much, as that story was that was pretty much a similar story for every game last year for Auburn in the second half. What happens this time around? Georgia seems to be doing better since their first two losses to South Carolina and Boise State, but still not convinced that they're all the way there of that game a couple weeks ago against Florida. And Isaiah Crowell, how about the joke of the suspension? You don't find out that he failed the test until after the Florida, or you find out before the Florida game, but you don't release it until after the Florida game, so you suspend him for the very daunting New Mexico State game. And now reinstate him for the Auburn game. That's the biggest sham I've heard of.
Yeah, that's kind of screwy, but nothing really surprises me anymore. I mean, let's face
about Georgia.
I don't by Georgia by anybody. This is a tough game to pick. It really is. Auburn looked pretty good a couple weeks ago. They were able to establish the run against Ole Miss, but I thought they struggled against the run a little bit. But that defense gets a little better. It seems like every week. El Toro Freeman has stepped up. He's playing great there at outside linebacker. You have young kids like Gabe Wright on the defensive line who continue to improve week by week. Georgia's got a lot of offense. You got to look at it this way. They basically have had 2 weeks to prepare, kind of like Auburn. I mean, Auburn had a bye week, but Georgia was actually able to go out and play a game against New Mexico State and get a lot of young guys time. It seems like everybody on that team has some kind of offensive statistic. They could do whatever they wanted to against New Mexico State. Yeah. And I've talked on the show before about how a bye week can help, but sometimes it's not treated rightly or wrongly. And I have no inside information about how wonderful or how bad Auburn's preparation has been the past couple weeks. For all I know, they've dialed up a great plan against Georgia. But Georgia's actually, I give more credence than going out for a tune-up game in preparation for a larger game that comes ahead, because you tend not to sleepwalk as much. I hate to do it, as I'm your, I guess, the Bun Sports resident Auburn analyst in that.
You
but
are.
I'm going to take Georgia. I'm going to take Georgia in this game. You know, I've proven on this show time and time again that I try not to let my bias get in the pick. And I'm going to go with against my heart's wishes. And against what my role is on the show, I'm going to pick Georgia in this game to win this game. There's been some very great Auburn-Georgia games in the past, and it seems like that game in Athens always comes down to the fourth quarter. So look for that to be the same case this year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a blowout one way or the other. And I went back and forth myself, and I just think because of home field advantage, I will agree with you that Georgia will win the game. But I think if Auburn can get some offense going and perhaps find some ways to find holes in the Georgia defense, then it could get really interesting. But I think at the end of the day, Georgia will just outscore Auburn just enough to get the victory. And now the big game Saturday night is going to be on ABC, 7 o'clock Central. It is the Alabama and LSU, you could say, of the West. And I say that because these two teams are in the same division in the Pac-12, Oregon and Stanford. And everybody is talking about how Stanford controls its own destiny and to get to the national championship, and it does. But do you realize if they lose this game to Oregon, not only are they knocked out of the national championship race, they don't even go to their own conference championship. So this is a big game for them, which is kind of unfair, but that's the way it is. It's an overloaded division like we have here in the SEC. So Oregon and Stanford playing for, I think, both the national championship and, of course, the conference championship as well. They're going to be played. The game's going to be played in Palo Alto, California, home of the Stanford Cardinal. Who do you have?
At the last second, I changed my pick, and I'm taking Oregon. They have had a chip on their shoulder all year long. They open up with a loss to LSU, and the disadvantage there is that they kind of get swept under the rug a little bit because of that opening loss. You know, some people say it's impressions or everything. It's been the case for Oregon. So many people have just written them off and haven't paid as much attention to them. And I think down here below the Mason-Dixon, with that Pacific time zone, we don't pay quite as much attention to teams out there. I think we forget how great of a program Oregon is at the time. I think we forget that LaMichael James was the returning rusher from last year, and regardless of that injury he had several weeks back, he's still a good running back, and he's coming back. He's come back to form. I think Oregon goes in this game with a big chip on their shoulder in Palo Alto. You know, Palo Alto is not one of those. If you look at various lists of top 20 toughest places in the country to play, Palo Alto is not going to be on the list.
No.
Okay. You got kids studying for their biochem exam the day of the game, all right? So I have a lot of respect for Stanford and that program, and I love the kind of football they play. I think they're physical, and Andrew Luck's the best quarterback in the country. But I'm saying this Oregon game goes in and prepares to beat the Cardinal. I think they get it done. I like the Ducks.
You know, I think that's interesting, and I agree with you. I'm going to agree with you on the pick. I like Oregon, and I think Stanford may be the better team than Oregon. I really do, but I think Oregon, like you said, has something to prove. They've been showing that in their previous games, and I really take that Arizona State game a couple of weeks ago as an example. I thought Arizona State would come close, if not beat them, and Oregon just absolutely destroyed them, especially in that second half. And so, you know, statistically, these teams are as good as they come on offense. They score about the same amount of game, and they really allow on defense about the same amount of game. But I just think the Oregon Ducks are going to really show something. They haven't shown, I don't know what it'll be, to Stanford here and get an edge in that ball game. And hey, they won it last year. I think they'll win it again this year. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, last year's game was played in Stanford Stadium as well. You have to remember they redid the schedule when they divided the conference up with the two divisions. So I think last year's game was in Stanford as well, and I think Oregon proved last year that it can go there and win. So I'm going to take the Ducks.
And I love how you use the Alabama LSU of the West Coast, which I used on your show a couple weeks ago. If ESPN ends up using that line, I better be written a check.
Isn't that true? Yeah, we will be waiting on our royalties, although I'm sure they won't be forthcoming very soon. Well, Robert, great stuff as always, and we will talk again next week.
That was a lot of fun. To your listeners and to all of our listeners out there and people that keep up with us, feel free to follow me if you'd like at twitter.com at @being_large. Have a good one, Bun, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Bun Sports Show, and we'll be back soon.